hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola, and RBN is struggling financially and therefore is conducting a pledge drive. If you would, if you could help, just call 800-724-2719. You can also support RBN by purchasing products from the RBN website and subscribing to the archives at a higher rate than the usual $1.33 per month. If you have a product or a service that you would like to promote, you may do that on RBN. Just arrange that by calling 800-724-2719 or going to republicbroadcasting.org. Our guest today is Jonathan Azaziah. His website is maskofzion.com, and he is talking about the destruction, the deliberate destruction of Iraq, the total destruction in every way. I mean, it's just devastating. It's just unbelievable what has happened in the Middle East. And, of course, this whole situation started with World War One. It also started in 1903 when the Jews got together at one of their conferences and decided that there was going to be world wars and that they planned this. It was planned a long time ago. This is just the implementation of their plans. Jonathan, welcome. Are you there?
I am here.
Okay.
I don't know what the hell is going on with this thing.
I don't know. Maybe somebody wants to not have you be talking. All righty. Sometimes Skype is like that. Okay, we were talking about PNAC. We're talking about very amazing that that Monica Lewinsky had a meeting with Netanyahu just before the media, the Jewish-owned media in this country, broke the news via Bill Kristol about this this affair, or whatever they call it.
I want to make something exceedingly clear, just so nobody gets the point misconstrued. I have absolutely no love for Bill Clinton. I find Bill Clinton an abhorrent person, not even a person. I consider Clinton a monster. He bombed Iraq routinely throughout the 1990s. He just didn't want to give the Zionist power brokers an all-out war because it would have cost America a little bit too much money. But that doesn't make him any less of a deplorable creature. Clinton, of course, was also responsible for deconstructing Yugoslavia, which, by the way, was another neocon, another Jewish war that was prosecuted to the fullest by Madeleine Albright, who infamously said, when asked about the sanctions, that at that time had already killed 500,000 Iraqi children. She was asked, is the price worth it? And she coldly, and I might add Jewishly, said, yes, we believe the price is worth it. So I don't believe that Bill Clinton was any sort of a decent person. It just goes to show that even when there is a little bit of opposition from a Shabbas goy, the Jews will automatically make sure that this person is burned and that this person is buried. And another clear example of this would be George Bush Sr., George Bush Sr., who showed opposition to a war in Iraq from the onset, and because of neocon pressure and Israeli pressure who threatened him, they told him that if you don't wage this war against Iraq and liberate Kuwait, we're going to do it. And famously, several Israeli officials during the lead up to the Gulf War, they demanded that America drop nuclear weapons on Iraq, which they did. America dropped nuclear weapons on Basra in 1991, and they dropped neutron bombs on Baghdad and villages around Baghdad in 2003. But Bush Sr., who initially resisted Israeli and neocon pressure to invade Iraq, looks like we have a break.
Right. All righty. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break. So stay tuned after a word from our sponsors.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. a complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Jonathan Azaziah, and his website is maskofzion.com. And you were talking about the first President Bush and his resistance to doing what the Zionists wanted him to do.
Yes. What happened was that despite the fact that Bush had initially resisted the Israeli and the Jewish neoconservative pressure to invade Iraq, he indeed did invade Iraq, and because of his decision to do so, it was nothing short of annihilation. And it culminated, of course, with the Highway of Death massacre, in which somewhere between 50 and 150,000 Iraqi men, women, and children, soldier and civilian alike, were strafed down over the course of 24 hours in a deliberate and unconscionable massacre. A war crime and a crime against humanity, again, of biblical type proportion. And when this is related and connected to the fact that this war was waged on Purim, it all starts to make a bit more sense. And because of Bush's decision, which undoubtedly, although I don't have proof of it at this time, came from the neocons to cover up the crime, Bush, of course, is a war criminal of the highest degree, and he deserves everything that he gets when he rots in hell. However, it's important to note that another thing that Bush did that, for lack of a more eloquent phrase, pissed off the Zionist lobby, is that Bush Sr. wanted them to stop the settlement project. And Bush is the only president, except Kennedy, of course, to actually withhold American loan guarantees to the Zionist regime. He only did it for 3 months, But the fact is he did it so the Zionist entity would stop its illegal settlement construction in the West Bank and Al-Quds, Jerusalem. Because of this, the Zionist regime actively plotted to kill Bush at the Madrid Peace Conference in 1991. So just because the American president is a piece of garbage, a war criminal, and the lowest form of human life on the totem pole, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything that he does coincides with the interests of the Zionist regime and the Jewish power brokers here at home. And I think this is something that needs to be made very clear, because we are witnessing the same thing with Obama now. Despite the fact that Obama was called the first Jewish president in the lead-up, and his very political existence is because of the Jewish crime political machine in Chicago, the fact of the matter is he does not want to wage all-out war on Iran. He just doesn't. This doesn't mean that Obama is a decent person, and his drone strikes on Pakistan and Yemen and the increased surge in Afghanistan and his war on Libya and his deconstruction of Somalia, all Zionist objectives in their own right. This again shows that Obama is a war criminal, but he's not the kind of person that the Zionists want, because he won't give them their war on Iran. So I guess I can say that although these are not good people, it's a good thing that they have a little tiny drop of their spine left, because otherwise we would see a much more devastating scenario in the Islamic world today.
Do you think that they are using this fact that he does not want to wage an all-out war on Iran? Are they using this to say, oh, yes, he's supporting the Muslims and he's actually a Muslim, even though his mother was reportedly a Jew, and even though the Jews put him in power and into office, they funded him, backed him, and propagandized for him? But they are now saying that he supports the Muslims, which makes a lot of people in this country mad, particularly when there's all this other propaganda about Sharia law and all that nonsense. And in fact, there was a picture, it was in the media, of him getting off of an airplane, and he was carrying a book that said something, entitled something like America After the Muslim Takeover or something. And so when you factor this in with that the Jews run the media and they're showing pictures like that and they're promoting this fallacy, isn't that pressure?
I would certainly agree. I would absolutely agree. When you also consider that Mitt Romney, who absolutely will take the Republican nomination, is good friends with Benjamin Netanyahu. And Netanyahu and Romney go back more than 30 years, if I'm not mistaken. I think their relationship goes all the way back to 1975, according to a New York Times article that was recently penned last week. And when you consider that the people around Romney are Dov Zakheim, the rabbi who was responsible for disappearing $2.3 trillion a day before 9/11, and who owned a company, Systems Planning Corporation, that manufactured flight termination systems, remote control technology that's used in airplanes, and there is evidence suggesting that Zakheim's technology was used on planes on 9/11. And also another senior Romney advisor is none other than Dan Senor, the senior advisor to Paul Bremer, the head of the Colonial Provisional Authority in Iraq, and who represented major Israeli interests in the reconstruction of Iraq. So Mitt Romney is certainly a Zionist puppet, just as much as Obama was in Obama's rise to power. And the fact that Romney is getting nothing but favorable coverage from the Zionist media, it's a very strong possibility that Obama will find himself in the exact same position that Bush found himself in when he ran against Clinton in 1992. And it's also interesting to note, sister, that Bush himself blames the Zionist lobby as the reason why he lost the election in 1992. Because of the Jewish support that went to Clinton instead of to Bush, due to Bush's semi-hardline stance against the Zionist regime, the Jewish community punished him and threw their support behind Clinton. So it's a very large possibility, considering that Mitt Romney has outright stated he'll wage a military attack on the Islamic Revolution in Iran, where Obama has reserved himself to crippling sanctions, which are absolutely a war crime and a crime against humanity in their own right. I have friends in Qom and I have friends in Tehran who are suffering unspeakably. They can't even go get a loaf of bread without paying through the nose because of these sanctions, and the Iranian government is having a hard time fighting it. He would much rather do that than wage war on Iran. And of course, again, because of the twisted and backwards and disturbing religious fanaticism, the Jewish fundamentalism of the people who run the Zionist entity, chiefly Netanyahu and Lieberman and their ilk, it's a very strong possibility that they want someone who will carry out an Iraq-type slaughter in Iran. And Obama, at least at the moment, is not that person.
Right. It's interesting that, if you get somebody in office that doesn't do exactly what they would like to do. But it's also interesting that George W. Bush was allowed to go in, as president, 8 years after his father left the presidency. And if you look at some of the people that served it, like defense secretary, back in 1991 was Dick Cheney. And, when you look at all of the personalities and the names, the people that signed the charter for PNAC, it's the same group of people, basically.
This is a very true statement, sister. But and I think what the difference is that while Bush Jr. was an absolute puppet, that the Jewish neoconservatives and the Zionist occupiers pushed around like a plaything, Bush Sr. still had some sort of decision-making ability. And because of that, they couldn't bully him into doing the things that they wanted him to do, at least not completely. And I think the same thing is going for Obama. And the other thing I think that we should mention is, Kenneth O'Keefe, who's a good friend of mine, and of course he's the famous survivor from the Zionist massacre on the Freedom Flotilla, 2 years ago, coming up in May. Kenneth O'Keefe said to me once when we were speaking about Iraq, he said that the best president that America ever had was George Bush Jr. And the reason why he said this to me was because he meant in terms of the people, for the people, Bush was the best president because so many people had awakened during his presidency. Because of the cronyism and the nepotism and the war profiteering and the war crimes and the restriction on civil liberties and all the abuses, foreign and domestic, more people woke up under George Bush than any other president in recent memory. So the Zionist power configuration needed to nick this in the bud. They needed to stop it before it furthered. And that's why they put Obama into power. Because if you remember, sister, so many people, they bought the lie that Obama was legitimately going to bring change to this country. People that are normally awake, people that normally reject any and all propaganda from the Jewish media, they bought into the lies. And people I know, especially black people, and I hate to say it, Arabs and Muslims even bought into it. So Obama shifted the frustration and the anger, the righteous anger of the American people, away from the criminals, and it made them submissive. And now as we go into another election, I would say that ire, unfortunately, has not regained its force.
No, certainly not. All righty, we've got to take a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
The Get Prepared Expo is coming. Practical advice, affordable solutions. Get Prepared Expo with KWTO's Vincent Finelli. Ozark Empire Fairgrounds, Springfield, Missouri. Over 125 seminars and exhibits. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Discount $8 passes and $15 weekend passes available now at GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com. Prepare and survive right now at GetPreparedExpo.com. Mothers, fathers, grandmothers, and grandfathers all over the world are worried. World-renowned experts predict economic collapse and war. The time to prepare is now. Don't miss the Get Prepared Expo with KWTO's Vincent Finelli. Ozark Empire Fairgrounds, Springfield, Missouri. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. Discount $8 passes and $15 weekend passes available now at GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Jonathan Azaziah. His website is maskofzion.com. And I think we'll open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, that number is 800-313-9443. And I think you're really right. I mean, about Obama and the possibility of change and about so many people waking up. And of course, you had 9/11 and you had the Patriot Act. I mean, things that happened as a result of 9/11 and the tyranny is just, you know, I mean, it's pretty awful. And of course, the Patriot Act was written during the Clinton administration, and yet they were not able to impose it because the American people wouldn't have put up with it.
Exactly, sister. And what needs to be understood is that if you look at what took place in Iraq, and just to put it into perspective, and I'm going off the top of my head here, so if I'm incorrect, ladies and gentlemen, you can please email me at jonathan.azaziah@gmail.com. But Iraq, there are 4 million orphans, as I had said, and 2 million widows. You're talking about a mortality rate that went up 150% since the sanctions were first implemented. Unemployment is as high as 70%. And more than half of the Iraqi people, 43 to 50%, live in complete and total poverty. You have 5 million refugees, more than half of them are internally displaced. And the last time I checked from Al Azaman English, which is an Iraqi newspaper, 80% of the Iraqi people didn't have access to clean water. Now, if you compare what was done to Iraq at the behest of this Jewish Zionist cabal, and then you compare it to what has been done to Libya over the course of the last year, with the man-made river being destroyed by NATO, you do not see a difference. There is no difference whatsoever. But yet under Bush, the American people mobilized in the thousands and even hundreds of thousands against the war in Iraq at different times of his presidency. With Obama, a war in Libya that was no less imperial, no less destructive, and most importantly, no less Jewish and no less Zionist than the war on Iraq, there was zero mobilization. In fact, there were people who were openly and enthusiastically, even emphatically supporting it. I remember when the war on Libya was began on March 20th, which was 8 years to the day of the invasion of Iraq, and again on the Jewish revenge holiday of Purim, I was screaming to myself, why don't you people wake up? And the reason why, of course, they didn't is because of Obama. Because even 3 years into this person's presidency, they still believed this mantra of hope and change. And I think that it's disturbing, to say the very least, that people have believed him. And it's allowed the Zionists a certain level of control that they didn't have before, because they were able to revert back to the shadows and continue to conduct a lot of the subversive activities that they weren't able to do under Bush, because people were aware of it. But at the exact same time, Obama is sticking to certain principles that he doesn't want, and certain concessions that he refuses to give to the Zionist power brokers. And because of that, it's a very, very strong possibility that he will not go in a second term. And I guess, sister, what it really boils down to is money. It really boils down to money. We know that Jewish money controls both ends of the aisle. According to an article from the Washington Post that's just as valid as it was 10 years ago, it's still valid today, that Jewish money makes up for 60% of the contributions to the Democratic Party and 51% of contributions to the Republican Party. And, of course, the driving force behind Jewish money is the usurping Zionist regime, the usurping criminal Zionist regime that has no right to exist whatsoever. And it's really going to boil down to, who do they think is going to serve the usurping Zionist regime's interests better? Obama, who they consider to be the very first Jewish president, or Mitt Romney, who happens to be Netanyahu's best American friend? It's a toss-up, and obviously the only casualty in this matter, excluding my people in Iraq and the Muslims and Arabs all across the Arab and Islamic world, is the American people. It is the American people who are going to suffer more than anybody, and they have continued to suffer under this two-party dictatorship, which is being puppeteered by Jewish interests.
Absolutely. Now, in your article, you have an image, and it says, Iraqis have gas chambers for all Jews. And this was apparently in the Jewish press, dated February 21st, 1991. Talk about that. Excuse me. Oh, talk about that when we come back from the break. Excuse me. You've made this comparison, or they have exploited the alleged Holocaust again in another area. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life. life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Our guest is Jonathan Azaziah. His website is maskofzion.com. And I was talking about, or I referred to the newspaper from 1991 about the gas chambers that the Iraqis allegedly had. And why don't we take a call first and then have you talk about that?
Absolutely.
All righty. Tom in Florida. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hello. Just called in. We're on the verge of the UN Security Council meeting again on Iran, and it's just such a sad situation that Iran is in because it's just, I just cannot see any hope for them against the UN Security Council. It's just like in Iraq when Saddam Hussein kept trying to say it to everybody, we are not hiding the weapons of mass destruction. The UN Security Council just kept saying, you're hiding them, you're hiding them, and then they would have these weapons inspectors go look for them, and then everyone would say on the mass media, oh, they're hiding them. Look at, we have satellite images of them right before the UN inspectors get there. They take the weapons of mass destruction out of the warehouse. And it was just a lie. And then no matter what the Iraq would do, the accusations just would never stop. They couldn't get out of it. It was impossible to prove they didn't have weapons of mass destruction. And now Iran is in the same problem. All the UN Security Council states, China, Russia, France, the USA, and Britain, they're saying you have a nuclear weapons program, and Iran says no, we don't have any such thing. And so they won't let them out of it. And then China just said when Hillary Clinton went there, that satanic blood-drinking witch, China just said, well, you need to lessen the fears that people have over your uranium enrichment program, that you're using it for to build a nuclear weapon. Well, that's impossible. How can they lessen the fears of people who are not going to just, whatever Iran says, the United States and France and England are just going to say, oh, no, we don't believe you. You're building a nuclear weapon. We know you're doing it. And they'll just keep putting more sanctions on them and keep making it harder, and then they'll want to threaten war and everything. It's just such a nightmare. It's unbelievable.
Jonathan, what are your remarks? That is the sad thing.
Well, first, I'd like to say salam to Brother Tom for calling in, and I'd like to say, and remember, I'm saying this as an Iraqi, that the difference between Iran and Iraq is that Saddam did not have mass support. Saddam is another one of these people that Sister Deanna and I were just discussing. Just because he resisted the Jewish New World Order and the Zionist power brokers in the region at the end of his life, it doesn't make Saddam a good person. Many Iraqis despised Saddam because he decided to wage war in Iran in the 1980s at the behest of the House of Saud, Israel, America, and Britain, and because of his role in the assassination of the populist and much-loved Iraqi leader Abdul Karim Qasem, that the Jews were very well aware that Saddam would not have mass support if an invasion happened, and he didn't. The difference between Saddam and Iran is that the Iranian people, they voted for the Islamic Revolution. Ayatollah Sayyid Khomeini, radiallahu anhu, he famously gave a speech before the implementation of the Islamic system of government. He gave a speech and he asked the Iranian people what they wanted, and if they did not want Islamic government, then he wouldn't go in that direction. But over 90% of the Iranian people wanted it. And a very telling article appeared in Haaretz a couple months ago, in which Ayatollah Sayyid Khatami, who I don't particularly care for, and I always looked at him as a pro-West, even pro-Israel kind of candidate, and he represents the opposition to Dr. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, he made it very clear in a televised speech that was picked up by Western media outlets that if America or the Zionist regime were to launch an attack on Iran, the opposition would unite with the government and they would fight the invasion. So this goes to show you that there is a true democratic system within Iran where, yes, indeed, you do have disagreement on certain domestic issues on the home front. But at the end of the day, every aspect of Iranian society, whether liberal or conservative, religious, and even the small amount of secular persons who are in Iran, they would be united against this aggression. And that's why they haven't been able to invade Iran. Think about it this way, my brother. In 2006, okay, the Zionist entity invaded Lebanon, July 2006, the 33 Days War. They invaded Lebanon with the hope of carrying out their Dahiya doctrine, in which they would punish the Lebanese civilian population, make them hate the Lebanese Islamic resistance of Hezbollah, and crush Hezbollah once and for all. And they carried out this act of aggression because Hezbollah kicked them off of their land in the year 2000. Instead of that, the Lebanese people were more united behind Hezbollah than ever. Hezbollah beat the hell out of the pathetic and cowardly Israeli army, and they were forced to end their operations. Now, look at the Lebanese Islamic resistance of Hezbollah. You're talking about 5,000 fighters. That's it, 5,000 fighters, but they are committed. They're committed to their doctrine of resistance and martyrdom. And they were, on top of that, they were poorly armed compared to the Israeli army, which is arguably the third or fourth most powerful army in the world. Now take Hezbollah and put them at the state level with Iranian oil money, because that's the Iranian military. the Americans and the Israelis have no chance whatsoever on the ground against the Islamic Republic if they were to wage war. And I think that despite the saddening and the infuriating aspects of this economic aggression that the West is waging on Iran at the behest of Israel, we can find hope and we can find solace in the fact that a military strike on Iran is not likely, not because they don't want to do it, but because the Iranian people, spiritually and emotionally and nationalistically, are way too strong for them.
All righty. But what about air power? I mean, it's you say that on the ground they would be too strong, that they are very united and they have a powerful army and whatnot, and that the government has the support of the people. But what about all the airstrikes that NATO could execute against Iran?
Well, of course, sister, you're 100% right in that regard. I mean, the air power of the West, and when you throw the Zionist regime in the mix, if you, Israel and NATO, the air power wouldn't even be comparable. They would have not only a considerable advantage over the Islamic Republic, they would have a supremacist advantage over the Islamic Republic. But you know, sister, and I know that no war has ever been won on airstrikes alone. You have to carry out a ground war to complement the air war, and you even need people on the ground for reconnaissance so you can execute your air war properly, as we saw in Libya. We constantly heard these lies that it would be an air war and that there would be a no-fly zone and there would never be forces on the ground, when in fact CIA, SAS, and agents from the Israeli Defense Ministry were on the ground from the very beginning. So I believe, of course, that if in fact a military strike was to be carried out on Iran, even though I personally find it unlikely, it would cause unimaginable damage and it would murder an unimaginable amount of innocent people. I still believe with all of my heart that in the end, the Iranian government would be victorious, not only because they have the support of the people, but there's never been an empire that was able to conquer Persia. And I don't believe that Empire Judaica, as I like to call it, or the Zionist Empire, which has the American and British regimes as its proxies, would ever be able to bury Iran. I think that if they do in fact go there, it will be they themselves who are buried. And I think a perfect example of this is something that I brought up in my piece towards the end. Israel, with its Kurdish proxies in northern Iraq, and the Zionist entity has been training Kurdish forces since the early 1950s. And this was something that Abdul Karim Qasim, Allah yarhamu, put a stop to during his reign from 1958 to 1963, and it's another reason why Israel collaborated with the CIA in assassinating him. Israel's Kurdish forces, along with elite occupation commandos, have already carried out secret strikes against Iran's nuclear facilities and some of their nuclear projects on the underground. This is the only way that, in my opinion, Israel and the West will be successful against Iran, doing everything in the dark, doing everything subversively in the shadows with intelligence, because an all-out war is just not something I believe that they want. But I will say, and I will go on the record on your show saying it, while I don't believe that Israel and NATO alone could destroy the Islamic Republic of Iran, it is a very strong possibility that Israel and the West will enlist the help of the GCC, the Gulf Cooperation Council, to attack Iran. And my reason for believing this, in addition to the House of Saud's hatred for Iran and for the Shia in general, which is something that is very dear to their twisted Talmudic Wahhabi ideology, the Joint Special Operations Command, which is dominated by neoconservative military thinkers and which has recently been linked to training the Iranian terror group, the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, The Joint Special Operations Command has also recently been caught training special forces of the GCC, chiefly forces of Saudi Arabia, on the border with Iran in the Kurdish region of Iraq. So maybe this is something that we're going to see in the next few months, in which you will see an open access between Israel, the countries of NATO, and the GCC. And maybe if they do that, I hate to say it, and I'd also like to say, God forbid, then maybe they may be able to destroy Iran.
Now, is Iran alone, or do they have any support from Russia? I know they've always had a relationship previous. So are they basically alone in this opposition?
You know, this is a very interesting question, sister, because I have to say that I honestly do not know. I would say that obviously on the surface it looks like Russia and China are supporting Iran. And from the Western Hemisphere, you of course have Hugo Chavez and Evo Morales in Bolivia, who have granted their support to Iran. Of course, you have the regime of Bashar al-Assad in Syria, who himself is in the middle of undergoing a brutal fourth-generation war with elements of the Mossad, the CIA, and Saudi-trained Ikhwan fighters. It's a brutal, brutal civil war in Syria right now. And of course, you have Hezbollah in Lebanon. But I would say that excluding these countries, Lebanon because of Hezbollah, Syria, Venezuela, and Bolivia, I would say that Iran for the most part is alone. And the reason why I'm saying this, and the reason why I'm not stating unequivocally or with certainty that Russia will back Iran, is because it's a little known fact that Russia happens to be a very big client of the Zionist regime. And what makes this so bizarre is that, of course, Vladimir Putin declared war on the Jewish oligarchs several years ago. And this strained relations between Russia and the Zionist regime, as well as Russia and America, to a great deal. He stripped the Jewish oligarchs of their wealth, imprisoned some of them, exiled the rest of them. But in 2010, in September 2010, Russia bought dozens of Israeli drones. And, you know, this reminded me of what happened during al-Nusra, the 1967 war, where Russia abandoned Jamal Abdel Nasser in Egypt. It abandoned him and left him in a Judaic death trap. And, of course, the Sinai was conquered. Al-Jolan, the Golan Heights, was conquered. The West Bank was conquered. Al-Quds was conquered. And what is now illegally besieged Gaza was also conquered. So when I look at that, and then you look at Putin and the very strange relationship that Russia has with Israel, it's very difficult for me to trust him completely. And my personal belief is that if it's in Russia's interest, they'll support Iran, and if it's not, they'll burn Iran just like they burned Egypt 40 years ago.
All righty. Well, you know, I think that the whole purpose of the Cold War was to build up Israel militarily. And when you look at the history of the Soviet Union, it was the Bolshevik Revolution was generated by Jews. They had power there up until a point where Stalin decided to get rid of some of them. And then, as you say, you know, it's just a very, very questionable history that they have, because he seems to, you know, back when he threw out all of these people that had had stolen, you know, basically exploited this situation with the fall of the communism, so-called fall of communism in 91, you know, these people that I can't remember their names because, well, they're hard to pronounce too, they bought a lot of property, bought a lot of companies for pennies on the dollar, and those are the people that he threw out. But then, as you say, you know, he now has an association with Israel. So it is kind of an enigma. And yet,
You know, sister, what you just said is very important regarding the Cold War. And what I would like to add, and this is a little known fact, is that it was known that the Soviet Union backed Arab nationalist governments during the Cold War. At least this is what we've been told. But what's so interesting is that while the USSR was hosting all of these Arab regimes and giving them money and giving them weaponry, essentially to fight a war with Israel, one of their bases of operations, of course, where many Palestinian nationalists and many Egyptian nationalists and Syrian nationalists would meet, was in East Germany. And I guess...
All righty. We will be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsor, so stay tuned.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Our guest today has been Jonathan Azaziah. His website is maskofzion.com. And Norman B. Podhoretz, who is one of the neocons, admitted in his books that the whole reason for the Cold War was to weaponize Israel. But then, with regard to the Soviets or Russia, would they just be giving just enough backing to the Arabs but not enough to win as a deliberate tactic?
Well, sister, what I will say in direct response to that, and it's also a continuation of what I was saying before we had the break, is that where a lot of Arab nationalists met was in East Germany. And East Germany, of course, was controlled by one of the most repressive police state apparatuses in the history of the modern world. And, of course, this was the Stasi. And the head of the Stasi was a man known as Marcus Mischa Wolf. And Mischa Wolf, of course, was Jewish. And in an interview with Haaretz, I believe it was 5 years ago, he gave it to Haaretz's chief military correspondent, Yossi Melman. Yossi asked him outright if the Stasi had ever spied on Israel, and he said no, even though that he had requests to spy on Israel, he made sure that the Stasi never did so, and he said, quote, maybe I did it because of my Jewishness. So when you see that there were so many Arab nationalist groups and persons who were meeting with Stasi officials, and then you have the head of the Stasi, a Jew who admittedly did not spy on the Zionist regime and even actively collaborated with the Zionist regime for several hits on Stasi opponents in West Germany, it begs the question, why were Arab nationals required to meet in East Germany and not in Moscow or St. Petersburg directly? And it would be my opinion, and from what I understand from people who actually read Marcus Wolf's autobiography, my opinion would be rooted in fact, it would be for the Stasi and for Russia as a whole to keep the Arab nationalist groups under control to, again, perpetuate this idea of the Cold War, which, as you say, was designed to build up Israel militarily. So it shows that then Russia, because there were still so many Jewish agents who were littered throughout the USSR, even after Joseph Stalin's purges of them, and this is, of course, why they killed him, it shows that Russia was just as complicit in this buildup as the United States was. And because of that, they burned the Arabs in 1967. And I suspect that they would burn the Persians in 2012, 2013. So while we should remain hopeful because of Vladimir Putin's past performance, let us not be naive, and we have to keep our eyes open.
I agree. All righty. Well, we've run out of time. I thank you so much for being on the program today, and thank our caller for calling in and bringing up this this whole issue. So I hope we can do this again, Jonathan.
Well, my dear sister, thank you again so much for having me on. And everybody, pray for justice and pray for peace in Iraq, Palestine, Kashmir, and the rest of the oppressed people all around the world. Salam.
Salam. Thank you. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.